Greetings in our Master's name again this evening. I seek an interest in your prayers as we again look into the Word of God. I want to thank you as a congregation for your hospitality and what you've meant and done for us. Also, I appreciate very much your assembling in before the service and the quiet reverence that is there. I think that's very important in church life. So may God bless you as you continue to serve Him in this community. Turn in your songbooks to number 951, the hymns of the church. I'm going to ask our song leader to lead that one. You may go ahead. Greetings tonight in Jesus' name, the one whom we are looking for. They that look for Him shall He appear. One of the end time marks is what our brother referred to in his devotional, is the lukewarmness, the casual Christianity. The casual Christian today takes the Bible for granted and doesn't spend time in Bible reading, studying, or meditating on it. So they do not know God's Word by means of knowledge or thorough experience. And they allow others, usually, preachers or teachers, whoever they are, and the internet to tell them what it really means. They choose to believe and follow what they like and want to and feel instead of the whole Word of God. The casual Christian takes church fellowship for granted. They see church membership and church attendance as something that is optional. And I'm not here to say tonight that church membership saves you, no. But if we are a saved person tonight, we will want to be with the people of God. The casual Christian takes prayer for granted. They rarely pray. They rarely show up at prayer meeting. The casual Christian takes Christianity for granted. And they usually compromise their values because their Christianity is not set on a firm foundation. Their choices are not based on Scripture or by Christian thinking or even by what would Jesus do is the question that we need to face in life. They haven't given themselves completely to Christ alone. I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation, to the Laodicean church. It was the church in Revelation that God had nothing good to say about. He only had condemnation. Beginning at verse 14, and on to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Wilt thou art cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When we look at this account of the lukewarm church, when you look at the early New Testament church, it soon becomes obvious The greatest threat that the New Testament church faced was persecution from those outside of the church. The early Christians lived their lives in such sacrificial Christ-like manner, it caused the world to despise them. They faced discrimination in the marketplaces. They were driven from their homes. They were beaten and stoned and imprisoned. Many of the early Christians were burned at the stake, thrown in the lion's den, or even crucified. While the greatest threat to the early New Testament church was persecution from the outside, it seems that the greatest threat to the church today is lukewarmness on the inside. How is it with you tonight? We see God's attitude toward lukewarmness. Whereas the early church lived sacrificial lives, it seems many Christians today are living superficial lives. We've lived an easy time. And I believe we see on the horizon of some of these things that are going to about change. Whereas the early church was at odds with the world, today the church seems to be in bed with the world. Whereas the early church endured persecution from non-Christians that caused them to unite, it seems today, church, we are persecuting each other and causing us to divide. Casual Christianity is faith in moderation. It allows them to feel religious without having to prioritize their faith. Christianity is a low-risk, predictable proposition for this tribe, providing a faith perspective that is not demanding, or a life that has little requirement. A casual Christian tonight can be all the things that they esteem, whatever that may be. In our materialistic world today. You know, brothers and sisters tonight, from their perspective, their brand of faith practice is genuine, realistic, and practical to them. Casual Christianity is the best of both worlds. It won't work when it comes to the judgment day. God says, you were hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. In our Lord's letter to the Laodicean church here, in Revelation 3, he confronts the church about her casual Christianity. First of all, we see the Lord's commendation of casual Christianity in verses 14 to 17. And when you study the Lord's letter to the letters to the seven churches, you learn that the church of Laodicea was the only church for which the Lord had no commendations for. What would the Lord say as he looks down into the Cornerstone congregation tonight, or wherever we may find ourselves tonight? What would God's commendation be to us? He had nothing good to say about them. They were materialistic. Laodicea was a city that was rich. They had a lot of material things going for them. Jesus reminds them of who they really are. How important is your spiritual life tonight? How important is church life to you? How important is your responsibility toward your brother or sister in the church? Secondly, I believe the Laodicean church, the Laodiceans were being neither cold nor hot, has traditionally been understood to mean they lacked spiritual fervor. The spirituality wasn't there. They were self-sufficient. They had everything they needed. Let's beware. In the age of affluence that we live, that we're not one of the lukewarm Christians, but that we're on fire for God tonight. Christ said he would rather a day be hot or cold than lukewarm. Lukewarm coffee to me is not very good. Hot coffee or cold iced coffee is good. But when it's lukewarm, we want to spew it out. This is what this looked like to God. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But then he gives them a recommendation later on. Hot water heals, cold water refreshes. Lukewarm water does nothing. From the standpoint of their ministry, the church at Laodicea offered neither healing or refreshment. And I trust tonight that I'm looking into the faces of a lot of people tonight who are not lukewarm, but who are on fire for God, and who offer healing, and who offer refreshment to your brothers and sisters, and also to the world and society around you. I believe that the point the Lord is making here is that what good is lukewarm Christians to Him? A lukewarm Christian is an ineffective Christian for God in this world. A lukewarm Christian bears little or no spiritual fruit for the Lord. A lukewarm Christian makes little or no impact in the lives of other people. That's what God is really saying tonight. And I believe that the Laodicean church marks the end of the church age. And I believe that's tonight we are living in the Laodicean church time, where there's lukewarmness, there's indifference. How much difference are you making tonight in the lives of others as we wait for our Lord's return? How does the Lord feel about you tonight? He tells us in verse 16 in this chapter. He tells us that in verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out. Casual Christianity tonight sickens God. Casual Christianity is unacceptable with God. Casual Christianity disgusts the Lord. He has no room or time for lukewarmness. How is it with you tonight? Are you on fire for God? But while lukewarmness sickens the Lord, lukewarmness satisfies the casual Christian. And we become complacent. We become indifferent. We become pretty comfortable in our lukewarm condition. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Laodiceans were grossly self-deceived. They truly believed that the Lord was satisfied with them. They truly believed that their condition was satisfactory with God, only to realize that it sickened God. And it's no different today in our lukewarmness and in our indifferent time. How is it with you tonight? These believers were so well off materially, they thought they didn't need anything from man or even from God. They believed that their talents and their abilities and human resources could get them through any situation without any help from anybody or God Himself. The Lord's evaluation verse is that because they are who they are, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Wretched means to be inferior or of very low quality. Miserable means they were to be pitied, not admired. Tonight, my friends, how do you view the wealth you have? How do you view the money? Does money speak in the Mennonite church today? I tremble sometimes. But he says they were poor. Poor means that they were beggarly, like one who was living off the crumbs of the rich man's table, rather than feasting on true bread of the Lord's table. They were blind, means that they were without spiritual insight or discernment as to their spiritual condition. They were naked, which means that they should be ashamed and humiliated for their lack of righteous garments instead of proud. Oh, brothers and sisters, tonight, we must honestly search our own hearts tonight. Am I a lukewarm Christian? We must ask ourselves, those hard questions, am I spiritually wretched? Am I spiritually miserable? Am I spiritually poor? Am I spiritually blind? Am I spiritually naked? Have I become satisfied with a lukewarm, casual Christian life and the easy street? It's going to make a difference. After the Lord gave his commendation to the Laodicean Christians for their lukewarmness, casual Christianity, when you come to the judgment bar of God, there'll be no time to change them. Will you love to hear those welcome words? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Then you need to accept Jesus and be on fire for him. In the second place, the Lord's correction for casual Christianity. In verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. As many as I love, he says, I rebuke. Because we serve a loving and forgiving and merciful God tonight. Today is yet the opportunity. God will always offer a solution. While in time, as long as time will last, as long as there's health and breath in you, you have that opportunity. He always will have a solution for you. In these verses, the Lord counsels the Laodiceans to do three things to correct their casual Christianity. First of all, Jesus counsels them to buy from him gold refined in the fire. Refined gold in the scriptures is always symbolic of purifying. God wants to purify you tonight. Once life, he wants to remove your sin. He wants to purify your life and remove those things that Satan has put there. One of the characteristics of a casual Christian tonight is that one becomes more tolerant of sin in their lives. Jesus is telling us here that we are going to correct. He's telling us here that if we are going to correct our casual Christianity, if we are going to be healed of our lukewarmness, the first things that we have got to do is to stop making excuses for our sins and accept his provision for salvation. Stop rationalizing sins and confess them and walk away from them. Secondly, I believe that Jesus here counsels the Laodiceans to buy from him white garments, that you may be clothed in that wedding garment. When the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, the white garments represented the righteousness of Christ. Only a true Christian can be clothed in this, in the righteous garments, in the righteousness of Christ. Christ is sternly warning the Laodiceans. This warning goes out to you and I tonight, sternly warning us. I believe tonight that we are living in the last of the last days. And you don't have to look at prophecy very long to understand that and to know that. Yes, we don't know the day nor the hour, but I believe that we can discern the signs of the time. But they were to clothe themselves with the white garment of his righteousness. They are not prepared to stand before his judgment seat. Are you prepared tonight to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you are living a half-committed, lukewarm, casual Christian life tonight, I encourage you and I beg you tonight to make a change, or you will come up found wanting in the judgment day. You need to be soberly aware that you are not truly prepared to stand before the Lord. You are either for Christ tonight or you are against him. Which will it be? You will either love the Lord and hate the world, or you'll love the world and hate and hate the Lord. There's no walking with God tonight with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Thirdly, Jesus counsels the Laodiceans to buy eye salve from him so they could see their true condition. God wants to see, he wants you to see who truly you are tonight and who truly I am tonight. Since the eye salve has to do with our spiritual sight and discernment, Jesus is in no doubt counseling them to yield their lives completely in control of the Holy Spirit. You see, another of the characteristics of lukewarmness, of a lukewarm casual Christian, is that our faith is an exercise in self-effort when we are a casual Christian. You'll go to church. You'll do a lot of good deeds to others. You'll put your money in the offering. Yes, you'll do all of that. I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll feel kind of all warm and fuzzy about myself. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. The Pharisee and the publican went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee said, God, I thank you, I'm not like this other individual over here. And the publican just smote his chest. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Brothers and sisters, if God were to ruin everything in your life, that is not of the Holy Spirit, what would you have left tonight? If God would take everything away from you tonight that is not of the Holy Spirit, what would you have left? I want you to think seriously about that. Casual Christianity is going to blind us to the truth that without God's help, without God's power tonight, and without God's provisions, we can do nothing of any lasting eternal value. After giving this, his condemnation for casual Christianity and his correction for casual Christianity, we now see that as you look at verses 20 on, you will see that the Lord's call away from casual Christianity, when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is God standing at your door tonight and knocking on your heart's door? I encourage you to answer that call. We have always pictured this scene somehow of God knocking at the heart's door of an unbeliever. But God is talking to church people here. He's talking to the church. While the Lord certainly desires to come into the heart of everyone who is lost, the contrast of this passage hits us with a lot of seriousness. Paints an entirely different picture when we see that he is talking to church people. You see, the door in verse 20 actually symbolizes the heart of the lukewarm, casual Christian who has never allowed the Lord to have full control of his or her life. Jesus wants to be your Savior, but he also wants to be Lord of your life. And we cannot have one or the other. We either have both, or we're not the Lord's. That knock on the door and that tender voice of Christ is the Lord calling you and me away from a lukewarmness and a half-heartedness. And a half-hearted relationship with him into a passionate and a vibrant and a life-giving, a life-changing relationship with him. That's what God is looking for tonight. Do you sense tonight the Lord knocking on the door of your heart? Have you sensed the Lord has been knocking on your heart this week, this weekend? Has he been calling you to a deeper walk with him? A deeper and more fuller relationship with him? Are you holding back? Are you counting the cost? You think the price is too high? Are you going to just let the Lord stand there and keep knocking at your heart's door tonight? Are you going to answer that knock? Casual Christianity, a casual Christian, the Lord loves you tonight, but he loves you too much to let you go on believing that casual Christianity will make it to eternity. It will make it to eternity. There are only two destinies in eternity, and that's heaven or hell. Which one will it be? It won't cut it in the day of judgment. The Savior is waiting tonight to enter your heart. He is waiting for you to answer that call. Why don't you let him in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What would your answer be to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. I want to go now to 1 Timothy. Well, let's first of all go to Romans chapter 11. I believe that we see a lot of signs of the time about us today. We may not all agree on eschatology tonight, but I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I think if I'd ask for a raise of hands, how many people think we're living in the last days, you would raise your hand. At least I hope you would. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy now with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read a number of verses there. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I'm going to leave off there. In the first verses of which we read, is that not where we are today, my brothers and sisters? This is a mark of the end. Perilous times. Yes, perilous times. I trust tonight that as we think about this, perilous times, Paul often warned his brethren that there will be difficult times ahead. He foretold of a coming apostasy in Acts and 2 Timothy. Likewise, he told Timothy of such things as we read about. Paul's words to Timothy are especially helpful. They are for us today. Perilous times to come. The coming of perilous times, it will be in the last days. And are we not there? This phrase, often used to describe the gospel dispensation, or the Christian age, or the age of the church. The nature of these perilous times, he goes on to describe this. He describes in our text here, people will be lovers of themselves and money. They will be boastful, proud, and blasphemous. They will be disobedient to parents. They will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, and unforgiving. They will be slanderers without self-control, brutal. They will be despisers of good, traitors, heady, headstrong, and haughty. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Dear ones, tonight, I believe that we would all agree that these are the times that we're living in. And may God help us to recognize that. They were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God and violent. They were proud, boasters, Do we see any of this in the church today? God help us that we might be cleansed of all of that. The sin of gossip, the sin of backbiters, the sin of, and you name it, the whole list could go on. It is the conduct of people that creates the perilous times. When did you ever have a time in the world today when we have politicians that can't even respect each other? They'd rather destroy each other. If there's ever a time that as a church we need to be sticking together, we need to be encouraging each other rather than destroying each other, it's right now. Because I believe that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. Perilous men to avoid, who will lead gullible families and those astray through appealing to the lusts of their victims, while their victims are ever learning. Men, unlike the Apostle Paul, are you ready to stand out against the evil in our world today? Are we getting too used to sin? God help us today to stand out as children of light. Our lights ought to be brighter as the world looks on in the midst of wickedness today. And we could turn to a lot of scriptures here tonight in relation to all of this. Are we ready to endure suffering, if that's what it would be called to? What is the answer to all of this? How should we face these perilous times? The zealous Christian is going to be one who is going to acknowledge a personal relationship with Jesus Christ tonight. Notice the words of verse 1, O God, you are my God. In Psalm 60, there's a psalm I wanted here. I wanted to turn to Psalm 63, verse 8. You may go there. What is the answer to all of this? How should we relate to all of this? Psalm 68. The zealous Christian will acknowledge a personal relationship with God. David did not speak of God as a God who was not there for him, but a God who was there for him and had mercy on him. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Secondly, the zealous Christian, the one who is on fire for God, confesses a deep longing for fellowship with the Lord. We got that in verses 1 and 2 in that chapter. David said, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. And you could go to Psalms 42, Psalms 84. There's a number of psalms you could go to. Do you long for the Lord tonight to come back? Do you long for him? Are you looking for him? Are you thinking about what all you can get done yet in life? Thirdly, the zealous Christian is filled with praise and prayer to the Lord. You will love to assemble with the people of God at prayer meeting. You will have a desire to meet with the people of God on Sunday mornings. You will desire that fellowship that God wants us to have. In the fourth place, the zealous Christian finds full satisfaction in the Lord himself. You will have a meaningful devotional life. You will be feeding upon the Word of God. Is it enjoyable for you to think about communing with God in the Holy Scriptures? The zealous Christian has developed the holy art of meditation. Not just hurriedly reading the Scriptures, but meditating on the Word of God. That is a Christian that is going to be on fire for God. The zealous Christian is confident and joyful about the future. You look for the Lord. The zealous Christian proves the present strength of God upholding him or her. Dear ones, tonight, one could go into a lot of prophecies. the signs that we see all about us today. I'm not going to do that. I felt with four meetings, it was hard to just cover everything that needed to be covered. And I struggled tonight just where all to go. But I want to encourage you to be on fire for the Lord tonight. I believe that God has a future yet for His people, the Jews. Yes, I do. God made a promise to Abraham. And I believe God is going to keep that promise. God has never been slack concerning His promise. And I don't believe He'll be slack concerning the promise. And I know we don't all agree tonight on eschatology. But I believe that we see signs all about us. You go back to Ezekiel. I think it was Ezekiel chapter 37, 21 and 22. Predicted the gathering, the establishment of a Jewish nation. That happened in 1948 on May 14th. That was a fulfillment of that scripture. Can we acknowledge that when prophecy is fulfilled? The regathering of Jews going home to Israel again. In June 7th, 1967, Jewish men said, I don't know what it is, but it's home and I want to go back. There were Jewish businessmen in Pennsylvania that my father-in-law knew personally. The pulling is to go back to Israel. Whether we all agree on eschatology or not, the importance tonight is, are you ready to meet God? Are you a zealous Christian tonight? Are you complacent? Are you indifferent about spiritual things tonight? That's the question. We see a lot around us that Jesus is soon coming. And someday it's going to be reality. And there are only two destinies in eternity. And it'll be one or the other, and that's heaven or hell. Hell is a real place. Don't ever let anyone tell you it's not. Don't anyone ever tell you that you are once saved, always saved. It's not true. Tonight, where are you at with the Lord? Where am I at? We can know tonight, and God wants us to know. I would have loved to preach a message on Christian assurance. And I have one with me. Four messages didn't allow for that. But dear ones, tonight, where are you at with the Lord Jesus tonight? When we sing that invitation hymn tonight, if you feel the Spirit of God speaking to you, maybe you've never been a Christian, answer that knock on your heart's door. Whether it be tonight in the service or whether it be later on, answer the knock that is at your heart's door. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you've been in the Mennonite church for a number of years. But maybe God is knocking at your heart's door because of some things in your life. Maybe you have some questions. If you don't have the courage to make it known during the service, make it known afterwards. What shall the number be? Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to the end of this meeting tonight. And I trust, Lord, that whatever was said, I know that you will do the feeding. You will do the heart's door knocking. We are but weak human beings. And so, dear God, we are but an instrument in your hand tonight. And Lord, I pray, may your will be done. That as we leave this place, all would be well in the hearts of each one here. That someday when we meet on the eternal shores of glory, that we would hear those welcome words. We know, Lord, that it's not far away. You have told us this in your word, and prophecies are being fulfilled right before our eyes. I just pray, God, help us to be ready for that time. When the trumpet will sound and the rapture takes place, we just pray, dear God, and we gather at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that it would be without the loss of one, is what we ask in your name. Amen. Shall we sing? is all well tonight? Or do you feel the knocking at your heart's door? We'll sing the last verse yet. If the Lord is knocking and continues to knock, make it known to someone, either your parents or the ministry, and they will help you through to victory. I'm going to turn it now back to Brother Ronald to share any closing comments that he wants to make.